Scott Kaplan. It works at the almighty 1090. There's a fine radio show down there also on the sidelines. Talk about multi-talented this weekend. Raiders and Chargers for our very own CBS Sports. Scott, it's Dave, Katie, and Nate. Thank you for joining us this morning. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for having me. Appreciate you guys having me on. Thanks.
No, our pleasure. Before we get to the game, Scott, obviously you guys have bigger fish to fry down there. Odds are, you know, let's be honest, playoffs probably not in the cards, but you guys are fighting for the life of your team as you know it in San Diego. Now, we're doing the same thing up here with the Raiders. Here's a little bit of a difference, though. San Diego, if they move to L.A., it's, what, an hour, 2 hours away. Does that matter to fans down there? What's the general consensus if the Chargers did go to L.A.?
So, first of all, I think that was really, really sweet the way you said that kind of still fighting for your playoff.
I know. I mean, you know, yeah.
This season is toast for the San Diego Chargers at 5-8. You know, at best, they could win their final three games and get back to 500 and make it look kind of respectable. But the flip side of it is they'll probably lose at home this week to the Raiders. Yeah. They'll be on the road in Cleveland. And if there's one team that can find a way to screw up Cleveland's winless season, leave it to the San Diego Chargers. As for the move, I'll tell you guys, it's kind of like people who said that if Donald Trump wins the election, I'm moving to Canada. Now, how many people do you know who said that, who actually packed their stuff and moved? Because I don't know any. But the Charger fans who today swear on their lives that they hate L.A. and they would never go to a game in L.A., those people are also saying, they're my team, I'd still watch them and support them, but I would never go to L.A., and I don't buy it for a second. I'll tell you guys why. If you've ever been to Dallas, to Jerry Jones's stadium, and if you haven't, make sure you put it on your bucket list. It's the most spectacular stadium you've ever been in your life. And the one that they're building in Los Angeles is going to even outdo it. So when you go to a game at a Raider game in the Coliseum or a Charger game in Qualcomm, the stadiums are disgusting, the bathrooms are gross, the food is bad, the sight lines are terrible, et cetera, et cetera. The stadium they're going to build in Los Angeles is going to be the best in the world at the time. And I believe for all these Charger fans that swear they won't drive 2 hours north, I believe many of them will.
You know, Scott, there are a few things that I enjoy more than a political peeing contest. And with the San Diego City Council sending a letter to Dean Spanos recently, it seems like kind of a sweetheart deal, right? They're just saying, hey, you guys pay for the stadium. We'll give you $1 a year lease for 99 years. That didn't go over well with Dean Spanos. Why is that?
Because the two guys, there were four people who signed the letter, four city council people. The two guys who really wrote the letter were the two most outspoken anti-Charger downtown stadium vote. They were the most far and away visible, outspoken, opinionated, etc. These two guys, these two city council people, their names are Scott Sherman and Chris Kate. It's immaterial for everybody listening up north. But those two guys bitterly opposed the Chargers downtown stadium. Now, I'm not telling you that their opposition was the reason the Chargers lost this election, but can you imagine that a month after the election, you get a letter from the two guys that did everything they could do to defeat your measure? Oh, and by the way, here's another reason that the Chargers were insulted. The letter was apparently going to be delivered on Tuesday morning of this week. But on Monday night, this same city council person hand-delivered the letter to the local Associated Press writer, who then published the letter. So, and then this is beautiful. Then he had a radio interview scheduled on our radio station at 7 a.m. Tuesday morning. So the whole point was, this guy, who is a total self-promoting clown of a city councilman, this guy literally had all of the media done before the letter was ever delivered to the Chargers. You can imagine why they find it insulting. Further, they also think that this whole ridiculous notion of a 99-year lease at $1 per year it seems like such an amazing deal that everybody would jump on it. And there, it's not a deal. It was something they threw out there in the water to see if they could get some nibbles. And it's the way the Chargers look at it is, it's a complete insult that you're trying to embarrass us by putting this out there for public mm-hmm. consumption.
You know, I'm curious, Scott, because you have a much better pulse on kind of the people in San Diego, the voters. I mean, the whole thing that was turned down, it was they were trying to raise the hotel tax. And this is something I've never understood. Hotel taxes do not really affect the people that live in San Diego. What was the opposition to this really all about?
Oh, you guys are going to love this. You won't even believe this. So, okay, San Diego is a great tourist town, right? I mean, considered one of the top tourist destinations in the entire country. It's got the weather, it's got the beautiful sights, it's got great tourist attractions, restaurants, nice downtown. I can keep going. So San Diego is a great tourist town. The people who really run the politics of this city are the people who run the hotel and tourism industry. Now, follow me here. They want to raise the hotel taxes, but they want the money generated by the hotel taxes to go to an expanded downtown convention center. Well, that sounds like a great idea, but the convention center sits on the bay, and the environmentalist community here says, absolutely not. We'll never let you expand this convention center and block the public's view of the water. So they continue to sue and win against the tourism industry. So again, the tourism industry wants to raise the taxes, but they want to direct where the money goes. In fact, it's so dirty. Listen to this. About two, maybe 3 years ago, the tourism industry internally voted to raise the hotel taxes, and they were going to use the money for an expanded convention center. That is, until an attorney sued them and proved that it was unconstitutional for them to be able to raise the taxes because they didn't ask the public for a vote. You can't raise taxes without asking the public for a vote. By the way, as you guys can tell, for someone who picks up the sports page as his first part of the newspaper or turns on ESPN when I turn on the TV, I've had to learn this whole world of dirty politics in San Diego. So the original question, why wouldn't we raise hotel taxes and have out-of-towners pay for it? It's because the hotel and tourism industry would never go for it. They own the politicians in this town. Therefore, the politicians would never support it. And it was such a brilliant idea because not only would that money pay for the stadium, it would also spurn a tremendous amount of growth, particularly in the tourism and hotel industry, just as you can see what's going on in a city like Minneapolis. People don't go to Minneapolis to vacation, but they do sometimes go to Minneapolis for conventions. San Diego could be a top-tier destination for conventions, but the tourism industry convinced the people of this town that the more people have to pay in hotel taxes, the less likely they are to have their conventions in San Diego, and I'll never believe that ever.
Scott Kaplan joining us sidelines for CBS this weekend. Chargers and Raiders also host his show down on the mighty 1090 in San Diego. Obviously very educated on the situation. Scott, let me digress here as a fellow sports guy who picks up the paper and turns on the ESPN just like you. I'm trying to think about if I can understand what you're going through. Let me try, though. It would almost be like if you had owners who were asking the city to raise taxes. And let's just say this city can't really raise hotel taxes because nobody wants to come here. So,
hey, what city?
So they try to raise they try to pass a couple of measures. And then 2 weeks before the measures go to a vote, they do a commercial for Carl's Jr. touting the $5,000 burger, or excuse me, $6,000 burger, which includes a very nice bottle of wine and a Carl's Jr. $6 burger. It's amazing when you think whether it's a town that's not known for tourism like Sacramento or one of the most beautiful destinations in the country, San Diego. Everyone's corrupt, everybody's selfish, everyone's weird, and nothing ever gets done.
Yeah, but you know what's interesting? Is that when you go into Sacramento, into downtown Sacramento, and obviously all of your listeners do, people down here in San Diego maybe don't, and I've been encouraging people in San Diego, you know what? Get on a plane, fly up to Sacramento, it's very easy to get there, and look at the development yep. that is happening in Sacramento. You know, that new arena in downtown Sacramento is fantastic. And I'm not suggesting to you that it is the Jerry World of all arenas. I don't know that they spent every last dollar making it the greatest arena on planet Earth, but it is brand new. It is in downtown Sacramento, and I don't know a lot about the city of Sacramento other than I come up there a couple times a year for a Kings game. You guys could tell me better, but I look at downtown Sacramento, and I see the construction that is going on. They're building a beautiful Kimpton Hotel right next door to the arena. I can see all of the cleaning up that's going on in downtown Sacramento, and my guess would be that in 5 years, downtown Sacramento is going to be great. Not only does it have that brand-new arena and all the construction going on around it, but how about where they're building that brand-new MLS stadium eventually and the expansion of housing in downtown Sacramento? I mean, to me, it's pretty obvious that if you love your team and you want your city to be progressive, building sports facilities can be a big part of that. I mean, what's the likelihood that Paul McCartney was going to be playing a bunch of concerts up in Sacramento?
Zero.
I mean, to me, what the Kings ownership has done with that arena is brilliant for the city of Sacramento.
Well, and Scott, you nailed it, and you nailed it about 500 different ways, whereas Sacramento and San Diego are nowhere near each other when it comes to destination. That's what makes the San Diego situation so stupid. Again, hotel taxes weren't really an option for us, whereas in San Diego, people are going to come down there, and it's the people that come down there, not that live there, that would end up by proxy paying for that stadium. And you're 100% right. You mentioned the Kimpton Hotel. You've got the MLS stadium that's going to be here in an MLS team by 2020. And you go down there, it's nothing but cranes and pitchforks and other construction equipment that I can't pronounce. I know, not pitchforks, but you get what I'm saying. Everyone's building everything down there. And we had a saying down here or up here, which was bigger than basketball. And you can write it off as hokey, but it really was the core of the pitch for this thing, was that it is you use it as a catalyst at the city center to develop outside of that. And it's amazing to me. That's why I'm sticking on this, Scott. Because from my perspective, and I think a lot of people up here, when you think of San Diego, you think of a fully formed city that has a ton of people going there and everything going for it. It's amazing for me to hear you say that San Diego needs some of that same downtown development that we did.
Let me tell you something. I don't know how much you guys know. I don't know how public it is about who the investors are in the Sacramento Kings. I can tell you this. There's a group of guys here in San Diego who are major shareholders.
The Jacobs brothers.
Correct.
Yeah.
And the Jacobs brothers, their father founded Qualcomm.
Yep.
And Paul Jacobs, who is very active with the Kings ownership, he was the CEO of Qualcomm for many years, and he's a genius. Every cell phone that you hold in your hands, this guy has a piece of the technology that makes that cell phone work the way it does.
He's amazing.
His younger brother, Jeff Jacobs, was the chief marketing officer. So he traveled the world and dealt with all the government leaders, et cetera, et cetera. The point is this. These guys, along with obviously Vivek, who went out and bought this team and has, you know, big dreams for this team, the Jacobs brothers in particular are such revolutionary thinkers that they will, and they're so excited about the opportunities in Sacramento. And there's a lot of other San Diego money that is being pumped into Sacramento right now. These guys, they are so excited about what the future of Sacramento is. And for people that don't know them, they can Google all about these guys, and Google will probably never tell you what you really need to know. Just to give you an example, they own a resort here in the richest part of San Diego called Rancho Santa Fe. And this resort, they bought it several years ago. It was inexpensive at the time, and they put millions and millions and millions of dollars into this resort. It's called the Rancho Valencia for anybody that wants to Google it. And it's a small boutique hotel, but they pumped millions into this place because they've traveled the world. They know what the greatest hotels look like and feel like and what the food is like and so on. And they've taken the best from around the world and they've pumped it into their resort. That's the kind of people we're talking about. That's what they plan to do in Sacramento.
Well, Scott, you know, we can talk ad nauseum about kind of the politics behind all of this, but it all comes down to the actual product on the field. And there is a game this Sunday. Raiders have the opportunity to clinch a playoff spot, you know, if they beat your Chargers. Sorry about that. But what do you see in this game? I know the Raiders are very hot coming off of that loss, though, to the Chiefs. But how do you see this game for San Diego?
Well, I see, first of all, I want you guys to know that Charger fans are so disgusted with all of this stadium talk, and you know there's a real hate relationship between the fan base and the ownership. I suspect that this game will be 70-30 Raider fans to Charger fans. This will be like a home game for the Raiders, and believe me, it's been like that for other teams. I can remember a Monday night game about a year or two ago with New England fans completely dominating or Steeler fans taking over Qualcomm Stadium. So first and foremost, I think it's a home game for the Raiders. Secondly, the Chargers have a lot of health problems. Not only all the guys that have been put on injured reserve, you know, they've got the most guys on injured reserve of any team in the NFL, but now just this week alone, a Melvin Gordon, who was having a breakout second year, he's hurt, not expected to play. Joey Bosa, the third pick overall in the draft for the Chargers, he's a guy that hurt his neck last week when he ran into Cam Newton, and Newton didn't move. They've got so many other issues on this team. Secondary is a big problem, and so Carr, I would think, would take great advantage of that. Run defense has never really been strong for the Chargers, and they've got a defensive lineman now who's sort of a role player, but he just got suspended by the league for PEDs. And all of this, stadium controversy, 5-8 record, tons of injuries, questions about the head coach's future, et cetera. It goes on and on. I would expect the Raiders to come down here and tear the Chargers apart. The only thing that keeps the Chargers potentially in this game is one guy, Phillip Rivers. And when the Chargers abandon their game plan and they just let Rivers wing it like he's playing ball out back of his house in Alabama, the chances are he could either burn the Raiders and put up points or do what he's done the last few weeks, which is throw a ton of interceptions because he just wants to go down fighting. I expect the Raiders to win the game, and frankly, I expect them to win the game handily.
That's Scott Kaplan. Follow him on Twitter, at Scott Kaplan. That's Kaplan with a K. You can also check him out on the sidelines this weekend for the Raiders and Chargers game. Appreciate it. Thought we'd spend more time on the game itself, as it sounds like you're getting in a vehicle. But you know what? It's a great conversation on a subject that, unfortunately, we're both all too familiar with.
Yeah, and I'll just close with this, and I appreciate you guys having me again. You know, the sad part would be that the Raiders are actually getting good again, and Mark Davis seems really married to this Vegas idea. And I've posed it to Mark many times and said, come on, you're just using Vegas as leverage to get Oakland motivated. And, of course, he swears that that's not the case. And I said, okay, tell me a scenario whereby you don't go to Vegas. And his answer was, if the owners don't allow me to go.
Right. Yeah, it's not looking good for Oakland, that's for sure. But you know what? Still hope alive, just like with the Chargers, as long as there's a chip in a chair. Appreciate it, Scott. Thank you.
Thanks, Scott.
Pleasure. Thank you, guys.
All right, take care.